The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball.
To have that drive to sort of ring Carla and say, right, like, here, let's be open conversation. Like, where can I improve? How can I get into your squad? I think is really, really good.
Subscribe to the Koi Gig Pod on the Off the Ball app now.
This week on Diverted.
What have you heard about this festival?
That they fight each other. And some people in the past, they choose to die. So
you say that they choose to die?
Some of them. Because for them, it's not something bad. If somebody dies, for the whole community, it's like an offering for Pachamama. To say thank you for what they have in life, the products, all this stuff.
In episode 3, we're going to Bolivia.
As soon as I get there, this cloud of white gas starts billowing towards me.
Tear gas.
Oh my God, I can actually feel it.
Go, guys.
Go.
Diverted. Coming every Tuesday to your podcast feed, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tune in and get diverted.
On Off the Ball.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
Ireland's sports breakfast show.
Lads, it's a massive Six Nations game tomorrow, 2 in Cork, 4:45, Ireland against England. Hannah, like, this is difficult stuff, isn't it? I mean, last year England put 14 tries past Ireland. They won by 78 points, I think. The 2 years before that, they nilled Ireland 48 and 69-0, respectively. Things are a lot better for Ireland. We know that these days. Is the fact, Hannah, that Scott Beaman was there for 8 years as England coach, is that helpful in a way that he can say, look, I know these guys, I know how we can beat them?
Yeah, it definitely does. It definitely does. I say that now. And like, that was great, brought us great kind of, you know, confidence last year in terms of your analysis that you're doing of them. Now, the scoreline didn't suggest the same thing when you look at it, but it does bring you a great deal of confidence that he knows. But the same is on the other hand, they also know him really well. So there's that element of knowing what he's going to do. So it does bring an extra layer of kind of spice to it. He obviously feels the added pressure, I'm sure, as well, because he wants to, it's like going back to your kind of home place. You want to get the one up on them, and especially them coming to visit after the nature of last year's defeat was seriously disappointing. But I think you'll have heard the girls talking in the media, and Scott as well talking in the media this week, that, you know, it's England. You don't need getting up for, and Quinny will tell you, you do not need getting up for England, no matter what has happened the year previously. I think over the last year, since Ireland have last met England, they're in the best place they have been in a great number of years, which is brilliant. You know, I spoke last week about Ireland are looking to push the gap away from Scotland, Wales and Italy and make that gulf between us and them a lot more obvious, especially after the performances that Ireland put in the WXV1 competition. I think France, we saw green shoots of what's there and what's capable of being there. England, you mentioned it, they're a completely different beast even to France. So I think this is a really good opportunity tomorrow to test where we're at. And yes, going in as massive underdogs again, like we have over the last number of years against them, and I suppose as everyone does against England, and they're arguably the best team in the world, it's to see how far can we close that gap? How far can we push it for 80 minutes to keep with them, and what can we get out of it in a World Cup year?
Quinny, England haven't lost in the Six Nations for 7 years. They've only lost two of their last 66 games. Now, both of those were against New Zealand, and of course, Ireland beat New Zealand at WXV1. So are you looking at that, Quinny, as the approach? It's like, look, we can do this against big sides. We've proven that. How do Ireland actually approach this game? Can you put yourself into the mindset from your own time as playing?
Yeah, well, the women's team are actually staying in the hotel here in Cork at the airport, and they had a captain's run today. So I met some of the coaches last night, and look, I think they're very, very aware, and Hannah will know this herself. They're very, very aware and conscious of England's threats, their power, their quality. If you focus all week on how do we stop the opposition, it can be tricky at times. You've got to be aware of their strengths. So a little bit like Munster going to Bordeaux. It's about getting set-piece parity, limiting your mistakes, your handling errors. We saw a lot of them in the first game against France. Some poor kicking. So if you kick poor to this English team, they're going to counter-attack. They're going to punish you. They want to run with the ball. So you've got to try and do the simple things that kind of the fundamentals that any team who are playing a stronger, more powerful perceived team and are underdogs. You've got to do the simple things well and limit your mistakes. So yeah. I think it's one of those ones where it's just intriguing to see where Ireland are at now. So for the last number of years, we expected this big score. We expected this dominance, and we were kind of in hope. We now have players who I think, can cause England problems tomorrow with their individual skills and strengths and this Irish team. But it's just going to take a mammoth task. You know, you need Erin King, Aoife Wafer, just coming in with their, you know, 20 tackles a game, 25 tackles a game. I listed a number of the Irish team after the game with massive tackle count and carries. So it's just about this massive work rate, and Ireland are fitter and stronger now. So let's hope the gap is closed. We still expect England will win the game. But the hope is that Ireland will fire shots here and that they'll have belief as well. And not accept this narrative that they're going to lose the game because England are so good. Have a real go at it. Be mentally strong and use it, no matter what the result is, use it as a building block for getting this continuous improvement that we've seen. You know, they beat New Zealand. They ran Canada very close. They beat USA. So there's results here to back up. Scott Beaman standing in a room with the team saying, we've got better. Here's the evidence. So it's about the girls believing in that and you know, giving it everything against England.
Just before we go, Hanno, what do you make of the Ireland teams? We have Amy Lee Costigan captain again. We have Emily Lane back in at scrum half. It looks fairly strong, similar to the French game as well. Dan O'Brien was fantastic off the tee against Italy. Do you like the look of the 15?
Yeah, I think it kind of was expected. I didn't expect him to change much or to twist things too much in terms of the cohesiveness. Obviously, you're kind of missing there the likes of Enya Breen off the bench, I think, through injury, and Adele McMahon also would be a loss to them in terms of whether she was to start or whether she was to play on the bench. So their bench obviously is a 6-2 split as well. I suppose that's the only concern in terms of the back line. There mightn't be as much cover there in terms of the versatility, because obviously Nicole Fowley, great to see her involved, but she exclusively would cover 10, really. Vicky Elms-Killen, obviously, it'd be a big moment for her if she can get off the bench for her first Six Nations cap. But I like the look of it. I think Quinny touched upon it there. Like Ireland, you can become overwhelmed in a week like this if you look at it probably from the defensive point of view of what you have to do, because we've seen this England team over the last number of years have that evolution under John Mitchell where he's literally letting them take the leash off and say, play. You know, they're more fluid, they're more unpredictable. The tempo and the ambition that they play with is probably next level. So for Ireland's point of view, the likes of the scrum and the line-out and the set piece that they've had the really good stats in over the last two games, you have to kind of hone in on that and say that we need to be matching those 90% for ourselves and for that kind of build-on that we have. So they'll be looking at those things that they've done well. You talked about the kicking game. That has to be absolutely on the money. If you give Breach, Dow and Kildon any of those three, like we saw last year in Twickenham, if you give them a sniff, you will be chasing shadows. So the girls will be looking to have that on the money. But again, Dana had a cracking game last week with the boot, and Italy, you know, were the signs of a team that were really struggling to manage with it and eventually were under that pressure. So, yeah, I think it's a case of build those layers to it, stick with them for as long as possible and really just close that gap. But yeah, it's probably the most exciting team that we've went down with. Bring them down to Cork as well. Is always an exciting place to go. The atmosphere that's created from the Cork contingent is fantastic. So hopefully it will be a good match to watch. That would what we'd be hoping for that we haven't been able to show over the last number of years. So yeah, hopefully for a good game.
Well, you have a big match this weekend yourself, Hannah, I believe, down in Limerick with Blackrock against UL Bows.
Yeah, the semi-finals of the AIL are happening on Sunday. So a busy, busy weekend of sports, which is exciting between the Masters and the rugby. Yeah. It'll be literally, it's exciting. So we're buzzing for that one. Going in as underdogs ourselves now on Sunday against UL Bows. But we'll let them have that kind of title if we can clip them now when it matters the most. So we'll be hoping for a win for ourselves down in Limerick.
Absolutely. Best of luck.
Quinny, enjoy Cork Airport.
Cheers, guys. Thanks.
This week on Diverted.
What have you heard about this festival?
That they fight each other. And some people in the past, they choose to die. So
you say that they choose to die?
Some of them. Because for them, it's not something bad. If somebody dies, for the whole community, it's like an offering for Pachamama. To say thank you for what they have in life, the products, all this stuff.
In episode 3, we're going to Bolivia.
As soon as I get there, this cloud of white gas starts billowing towards me.
Tear gas.
Oh my God, I can actually feel it.
Go, guys.
Go.
Diverted. Coming every Tuesday to your podcast feed, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tune in and get diverted.
On Off the Ball.
Off the Ball. Breakfast.
Ireland's Sports Breakfast Show.